Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Thank you for hanging around for our Bible class, and I know that I have to be through at 10 minutes after, all right? And so I assure you that I will be punctual, but we want to talk about the family. And as you can see, that we want to talk about some significant changes that have occurred in this wonderful institution in the past 50 years. An observation, sociologists and social psychologists would have us to believe that the institution called the family is just an experiment, experiencing some changes. But in my opinion, the family is just not changing. The family is deteriorating. And so what I want to share with you are some statistical facts to give you a picture of the American family. And you make your own conclusion. You make your own observation. Is the family just changing or is it deteriorating? And I have concluded that the American family is in trouble. That the American family is not changing just because of values and beliefs. It's changing and it's going to be detrimental to our society. And so, then I want to share with you some biblical insights as to what we can do to make our family better. And so what I want to do is get right to the meat of the lesson. And let's deal with some of the changes. I want to try to make you aware of 7 significant changes that have occurred in the institution called the family. Let's look at the first one. Increase in single-parent families. The increase in single-parent families is alarming in America. In 1950, 7% of American families were what we would call headed by a mother or by a father. Only 7% of American homes were single-parent homes. As you can see, the statistic by 1970, it increased to 12%. By 1980, 22%. By the year 1990, 28% of American homes were headed by a single parent. Today, 37%. Over one-third of all families in America are headed by a single parent. What is it going to be like in 10 years from now? What is it going to be like 20 years from now? But I want to break it down even more than that, because when you look at it by racial groups, it's even more alarming. And then I want to share with you an observation. The percentage of two-parent families differ by racial groups. Look at this. 71% of white homes are headed by two parents. 62% of Hispanic homes are headed by two parents. In 1978, 75% of black homes had two parents in them. Today, 32% of African-American families are headed by two parents. It is no wonder that the black community is in the situation that it's in. If there's ever been a time in American history for families to wake up and be strong again, the time is now. And if we don't do what we can to increase the number of two-parent homes in America, our society is going to continue to get worse. God's idea is for there to be a man and a woman in a family, or heading a family. It's not a sin to be a single-parent home. It's not a sin to be a single mother or a single father. But God's desire is for a home to be headed by two parents. In 1974, when I decided I wanted to be a gospel preacher, one of the reasons I wanted to be a gospel preacher is because I wanted to make a difference. And one way that I can make a difference in the black community is for myself to be an example of what a strong marriage ought to be like, a strong family ought to be like. Perhaps you've seen the movie Courageous. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch that movie. It's a movie about men who made a decision to make a difference. And I'm a man who's decided to make a difference. God needs someone to stand in the gap. And what our communities need today is to see strong men and strong women heading the home. But 37% of American homes are headed by a single parent. And at the rate we're going by the year 2020, it is projected that 47% of American homes will be headed by a single parent. It's time we wake up. It's time that we instill into our children that when you get married, you stay there with your marriage. Yes, you're going to experience difficult times, but you don't walk away from your family. You don't walk away from your marriage. You stay there because children deserve to grow up in a home with two parents. Not in every case, but when there's a single parent, poverty is usually not that far around. And you put stress into the lives of the children. When there's not a father in the home, listen to this. It increased the probability of homosexuality in the lives of a male. Did you hear what I just said? And we're going to talk about that one in just a moment. But when there's not a father in the home, I'm not saying if you come out of a single parent home that your children are going to be homosexual. I'm saying it increases the probability. It increases the probability. No child is born homosexual. No child is born that way. It's a conscious decision that you make. And it's up to parents to socialize and teach their children what God's desire is for their sexual orientation. But when the father is not there, there's a greater probability that that boy will identify with mom and take on the behaviors associated with that. We need to save our nation by bringing two parents back into the home. We need to make our community safer by bringing two parents back into the home. You look at any city, any community where there's a high rate of single parent homes, and you're going to see a high increase of crime. If you're a school teacher, wherever there's a high rate of single parent homes, you're going to see disobedient children. Just look around. If you're a police officer, if you're a school teacher, you know what I'm talking about. We hope that they will. We hope that they will. And the question is, why is it that African-American community doesn't stand up against Obama? I hope they will. I hope they will. Because I never dreamed that there would be a sitting president that will make the claim that there's nothing wrong with that. And we said back in 1960s and we kept our mouth closed and prayer was moved out of our schools. And if we sit back and be silent, then the greatest blow that in my lifetime that's ever been on the family can be approved. And that is the increase of homosexual marriages. That is not God's will. And so I don't believe in integrating politics with religion. But brothers and sisters, this is a time we can't afford to be quiet. We can't afford to be quiet. We've got to speak up because the greatest institution is under attack. But let's move on. But we need to increase the number of two parents' homes. The increase in cohabitation. In 1960, 500,000 people reported they were cohabitating. In 1980, it increased to 3.5 million. In the year 2000, it was 5.5. In 2010, 7.1 million couples reported that they were cohabitating. That's probably another 7.1 million out there that didn't report that they're cohabitating. We're living in a day and time when marriage is not honored in our society. The family is deteriorating because of the increase in single-parent homes and marriage. The family is deteriorating because there are too many people who are living together without the marriage license. Brothers and sisters and friends, the family is under attack. And it's time for us as Christians to do what we can. Cohabitating is a violation of God's will. And those couples who live together in a marriage where it's not honored by God, a relationship that's not sanctioned by God, cannot please God. The third, homosexual lifestyle. I live in a small community of Chester County. In the county, there's roughly about 9,000 people in the whole county. I've been on the school board for 18 years. And we have an epidemic in our community among our girls with the increase of lesbian in Little Chester County. And it starts where the senior girls are preying on the girls in junior high. And I'm just, if it's going on in Chester County, I know that it's going on elsewhere. And brothers and sisters and friends, and then we have a president who said that there's nothing wrong with this lifestyle. This is not pleasing to God. Look at the facts. In 1950, 97% of Americans classified themselves as being heterosexual. In 1990, 89% classified themselves as being heterosexual. Today, 11% of Americans gladly proclaim that they are gay or homosexual. 11% say they are. There's no telling what percentage of people, I say, is probably closer to 24% of Americans who are either bisexual or homosexual. Brothers and sisters and friends, we need to speak up. You're not born homosexual. In the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 28, the Bible says we are the offspring of God. We come from God. And homosexuality is a violation of God's will. And so there's no way that you can be born that way. Here's my theory. You're born asexual. You're not born heterosexual. You're not born homosexual. You're born with a sexual appetite. Not everybody. Not everybody is born with a sexual appetite. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 19, verse 10. When Jesus talked about marriage, he said that not everybody can receive this saying. You know why? Because there are some people born eunuchs. There are some people, a small percentage, that's born with no sex drive whatsoever. Then there are some people who make themselves a eunuch. But there are people who are born, but the majority of Americans are born with a sex drive, just like you're born with an appetite. What you eat, it depends upon your culture. I've been to Africa. In India, they don't eat hamburgers. But I tell you, there's nothing like a good ribeye. Why? That's their culture. They're born with an appetite, but what they eat depends upon what they have been socialized. You're born with a sex drive. And it's up to parents while their children are growing up is to teach them what it means to be a boy and what it means to be a girl. And guess what? We have stopped socializing. We have stopped teaching our children. We have stopped instilling in them what it means to be a male and what it means to be a female. And because of that lack of socialization, there are kids who are growing up and they don't know what they are. And there are parents. I listened to a parent on television not long ago. A child was 8 years old and gave the child a sex drive because the child requested it. And I said, how can that child know anything about sex? At the time, well, he started complaining that he was born in the wrong body at age six. Kids don't know. Kid had to be socialized. It's normal to experiment. Males experiment, boy and girls experiment, but it's up to parents to tell them, girls like boys, boys like girls. That's the way God's desire is. But if we don't teach them that, and they grow up thinking a certain way, as you think in your heart, you become. If it's not through socialization, then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is a violation of God's will. There were people at Corinth who were homosexuals, but they gave up that lifestyle. They made a decision not to engage in that so that they can go to heaven. Because those who are homosexual and continue to engage in that behavior can't go to heaven. Just like a person who's heterosexual, who's not married, should not engage in sex. A person who has homosexual tendencies must control that. And if you can't control it, then God has given you a desire that will condemn you to hell. And that's just not God's will. That violates God's will. You're not born homosexual. And we don't have time to deal with that, but the reason we're seeing an increase in homosexuality in America is because of the breakdown of the home, the breakdown of mom and dad. When we had our boys were young, and when we were deciding my oldest son, when he was going to come home, I played a joke on my father-in-law. I told him we're going to paint the room pink. And my father-in-law said, yeah, over my dead body. And back then he said, we're not going to have a Michael Jackson in the family. Now, I don't know anything about Michael Jackson's sexual orientation back then. But he said, we're not going to have a Michael Jackson in the family. We're not going to have a, well, my point is this. You start socializing. When I brought that son home, he was wrapped up in a blue blanket, not a pink. There was no question about this is a boy. When he was young and he came home from kindergarten, and he was daycare. And he was 3 years old and he was with Ron in the kitchen one day and he said, Mom, you know, I want to marry my best friend. His best friend was named Stevie. And I overheard that. I said, hey, Eric, you can't marry Stevie. Why, Daddy? He's my best friend. That's when socialization comes in. You got to teach him that a boy, you marry a girl. Now, you don't understand that now, Eric, but as you go, you grow up, you'll understand. You see, socialization has to take place. And without the socialization, you see what we have in America? Amen. Without the socialization, you're not born homosexual. If a child, whether male or female, is having homosexual tendencies, it's up to the parents to talk to them about that and help them to change that behavior because it cannot please God. Number four.
Anything you can do about that book, Fair Finding?
No, I can't do anything about it. I wish I could. The decline in the number of marriages in America. The decline in the number of marriages in America. There was a time in 1950 that 90% of Americans got married during their lifetime. 90% of Americans wanted to get married. By the 70s, it had declined. In 1970, 71% of Americans over the age of 18 was married. In 1990, 64% of Americans over the age of 18 were married. In 2008, 54%. Today, it's 51%. It is projected after this year, for the first time in American history, that people over the age of 18 be less than 50%. What's the point? They're not getting married at age 28. They're not getting married at age 35. Marriage is no longer honored in our society. It's declining. That's the point. Marriage was something that 40, 50 years ago, people couldn't wait to get into. People came to Fried Hardeman to get married. Not anymore. It's no longer considered a marriage institution. Anything they want is a husband when they come to a Christian college. Marriage is something we need to honor. If we don't teach the importance of it, the sanctity of it, then those numbers, those percentages are going to continue to decline in America. And what will bring down a nation, I don't care how militarily strong you are, I don't care how economically strong you are, when the marriage and when the family, when that institution is weak, the family, it's just a matter of time before other things start crumbling in the society. America, this great nation that I love, is under attack because the greatest institution in a society is the family, is being compromised. And brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you to pray for our families.
Amen.
Too many births outside of marriage is another indication that the family is under attack. 44% of all babies born in America are born outside of marriage. 44%. Almost half. And when you look at some statistics, look at this. About teenagers between the age of 14 and 67. And you can find statistics that can say anything. So again, the validity of this, you can find one that would probably say it's less or greater. But between the age of 14 and 17, almost 65% of our teenagers say they're sexually active. That's disturbing, but it's not the most disturbing. It's the second one. That those who are sexually active, look at the number of partners, four or more. Our young people are sexually active, and they're sexually active with more than one person. It's wrong to be sexually active with one. But because of the lack of values being taught in our society, they're experimenting with multiple spouses over their teenage years. Look at this. 74% of Hispanic babies are born outside of marriage. 72% of black babies are born outside of marriage. 36% of white babies and 22% of Asians. But let's go back to this. 37% of all homes in America are headed by a single parent. But look at this. 72%, almost three-fourths of Hispanic babies and black babies are born outside of marriage. We've got to get back to teaching. In 1975, 70-some percent of black homes were headed by a single parent. By two parents. If we don't do something, what is it going to be like 15 years from now? Irregardless of race, what is a family going to look like 20 years from now? If this all have occurred in the last 40 years, 50 years, it's time that we wake up. Jeremiah raised the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? Sammy, is there anything that we can do? Yes, we can pray to God. We can pray to God. God can change America. But it takes us as parents to start instilling into our children values that will help them to make good decisions. That's what I owe to this American society. That's what I owe to the Lord Church, is to raise my three boys so that they have been taught good values, that they will make good decisions, that they will be a good father, a good husband, so that these statistics here will start declining in America. Number six, violence. There's too much violence in the home. I just want to get to one. It's estimated somewhere between 4 and 10 million children experience the violence of their parents every day. 4 to 10 million. And look at this. If you come out of home where there's violence, there's a greater likelihood that when you get married that you're going to perpetuate it. You're going to pass it on. There's too many. One-third of all women murdered in America are murdered by a husband or a boyfriend. One-third. One-third of all homicides in America. Marriage is a violent institution. There's no telling how many spouses are physically abused, male or female. And we need to stop that. God's design for marriage is not where there is a place of violence. And finally, the institution called the family is dysfunctional. It's not serving the function for which God created the family for. Look at these. There are five major institutions in every society. Every society that has ever been powerful is governed by these five institutions: religion, government, education, the economy, and the family. And you put these, each one of them have vital functions they serve. And when these institutions are strong, that society is strong. Look at every one of those institutions in America, and they're weak right now. All you got to do is look at the history book. And what caused the great nations to crumble is when these five institutions started getting weak. Look at Europe. Look at Europe. Go to Europe now, a nation where many of our religions came from. It's because Europe used to be, years ago, a nation that believed in God. But go to Europe now, you see the beautiful buildings that are empty. And God's name is profaned in Europe. America was a nation founded on the principles in God we trust. But America is becoming a Europe. I'm not a prophet, nor am I a son of a prophet. And I hope to God my observations are wrong. And I hope it doesn't occur in my lifetime. But the day is coming when America is going to be a nation where church buildings are going to be empty because people don't respect God. I hope to God I'm wrong. If we don't wake up and start teaching our children, pleading with our children to serve God, our grandchildren, then what has happened in Europe can easily happen here. It's just a matter of time. Go to South America, go to Africa, and you see just a few years ago, those people didn't know God, and now they're excited about God. They remind me of what America used to be like. And you just see the progression where one day, if our Lord delays his second coming, what are some of the institutions the family is supposed to serve? Look at these and we'll close. Look at these. I wish I had time to share with you 10 functions of the family, but just look at these three. A function of the family is the regulation of sexual behavior and orientation. That's a function of the family. That's not a function of the school system. That's not a function of the government. It's to teach our children how to control their sexual desires and to be a male or to be a female. That's the job of the family. But suppose the family is not doing it. Then who's going to do it? Nobody. And that's what's happening. It's to socialize the expected norms, the expected behavior pattern, to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, to be respectful, to when somebody tells you to pull your pants up, yes, ma'am, to honor the society. Don't kill people. Don't rob up and carjack people at the age of 9 and you don't care about human life. That's the function of the family, is to teach children the value of the society and to be and comply with the norms of that society. We should not be building prisons after prison after prison to lock people up. But the reason we're doing it is because the family is not doing what it's supposed to do. That's not the job of the government. That's not the job of a school teacher to teach our children. That's my job. And we're not doing it. I'm to blame. Our daddies and fathers, we're not being leaders in the home. And because of that, we're just going to keep on building prisons. We're going to keep on burying kids at age 12 and 15 until we wake up and do what God wants us to do. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm mad at Satan. Satan knows his days are numbered, and Satan is trying to destroy the church and destroy our communities. And right now, it looks like he's winning. But I've studied the book of Revelation. He's not going to win. He's not going to win this war. Provide the family economic support. That's not the job of the government to take care of people. It's the job of people to be responsible to get out there and work. Amen. And then when family members can help out. And those who can't, we have programs. But that's not the job of the government. That's the job of the family. But the family is not doing its job. And now we're seeing the deterioration of the family. So you make your assessment. Is the family changing? Or is it deteriorating? What can we do? My time is gone. We'll talk about this afternoon at 1 o'clock. What can we do? What can we empower our children? I don't want anyone to leave saying I'm negative. I'm not negative. I'm concerned. I'm concerned. In my lifetime, I never thought that we'd get to the way the family is in my lifetime. But we're in a situation. And I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading for you to pray for your marriage. I'm pleading with you to pray for the American family. Because if it continues to decline, these numbers continue to change. I wonder what my granddaughter is going to grow up in. And she deserves a better country than what we have right now. May God bless you.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.